Countless books have been addressed to the long and rocky history of Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but what about the experiences of the soldiers on the front lines? A new book called Our Harsh Logic provides testimonies of Israeli soldiers in the occupied territories. Donna Golan is one of those veterans. She has traveled to North Carolina this week to talk about and talk with the members of the Triangle's Coalition for Peace with Justice, also a former director of the organization that collects these testimonies, Breaking the Silence. She joins us now in our studio. Donna, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Also with us is Ralph McCoy. He's a member of the Coalition of Peace with Justice who traveled to the West Bank, and he is in our studio now. Ralph, welcome to you.
Thank you, Frank.
Donna, let's talk about your experience in the occupied territories as an IDF soldier. What were you doing?
So first I was part of the border police in Hebron. At the age of 18 and a half, I was sent for the first time in my life to a city that is a Palestinian city. I don't know how many people know, but actually the service is mandatory in Israel, so I had to go. And I went there without knowing what's the word occupation, without knowing what's the status exactly is going on there, and without knowing Palestinians ever. The first time in my life I actually went into Palestinian house was during a weapons search in the middle of the night as part of a routine checks for weapon. No need to explain how shaking that experience might be for an 18 and a half years old kid that is entering a place of a Palestinian house in the middle of the night, asked to undress women and to check on their bodies. And this is part of a routine that takes place, and we're talking about in Breaking the Silence all the time. For us, it's important to bring those routines and to create these discussions about them, because we feel that many people, also here in America, talks about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and what should be the solution without actually knowing how the problem looked like. And the problem looks like on the ground is what we, as soldiers, had to be done. And sent to do.
Well, tell us about what you expected going in and what some of the other soldiers whose testimonies are in this book, because we're told that, look, this is a security mission. The security of Israel depends on this. They call it anti-terrorist activity. Mm-hmm. They call it separation, keeping safe Israel from a perceived threat. That was your mission.
When you grow up in Israel, actually for 18 years, you hear about the enemy and you want to contribute to your own community by protecting your own country. And then you get to a place like Hebron, and the enemy is a 16-year-old woman that is trying to get to the grocery store, or a 14-year-old kid that is trying to get to school and had to go through so many checkpoints in order to do that. And what we are talking about is orders that we received as soldiers, that one of them was, for example, to disrupt the day-to-day life of Palestinians in the neighborhood, or to create the feeling of being chased by the Palestinians in order to prevent them of doing anything that might challenge the Israeli control or might challenge the Israeli security. And when you do that, you're basically not just defending Israel. You actively act against the Palestinians, even the civilians, when the ones that are just trying to live their life. And we, as Israeli civilians, did not have the possibility to do that, to see that, unless we were actually soldiers that were sent to act those missions and to actually see that by controlling the Palestinians, we're creating victims on the other side on a daily basis. And this is not just a matter of security, because security is a defensive act. But when you are sent to demonstrate your presence, to make the feeling of being chased by the Palestinians, you basically changing from defensive act to offensive acts. And this is exactly what we're trying to show with our new book.
And what is the purpose of this? For instance, that order to disrupt, to make people feel that they're being chased, disrupt their daily activities. Obviously, that has some kind of defense mission or goal. What would be the goal of that?
The goal is to prevent any kind of challenge to the Israeli control or any kind of challenge to the Israeli security.
So if you're constantly worried about your own safety and what's going on, you can't have a meeting.
If you as a soldier, and this is what many soldiers repeat on, you make them feel that the army is everywhere. You intimidate them by the presence of the army in order to them understand that they cannot leave any regular routine because the army is always there and the army can always catch them. So in terms of security, you can justify that and say, okay, this works. No terror attacks, no on. But what we are trying to ask is not whether it's working or not, but whether it's moral to behave to the whole Palestinian society as a whole as a security threat. And in 2013, for the Israeli army, as we find it, as our reading of the reality by interviewing 950 soldiers that testifying on that, is that the whole Palestinian society, even the ones that treat or try to resist the occupation in a nonviolent act, are considered to be a threat by the Israeli army. And this is our problem.
And these testimonies are not testimonies about rogue activities or illegal activities, people disobeying orders and becoming too violent. This is a matter of policy.
Yes, we have testimonies about abuse and about atrocities as well, but we are presenting testimonies that shows the logic behind the behavior of the army, making your presence felt and creating the feeling of being chased by violent patrol, by mapping, by mock arrest, by different things that are presented in the book are completely policies. It's something that we hear from different soldiers serving in different places, in different times in the last 10 years. This book analyzed the last 10 years in the occupied Palestinian territories, and it's completely part of the system way.
Roy, you have gone over to that part of the world on peace missions. Tell us about some of the responses you've received as an American, kind of on this in these international teams that you've been part of.
Well, when we've been to the West Bank as well as to East Jerusalem and Gaza, we've been very, very well received by the people there. One of the real disappointments to me and one of the things that saddened me when I was over there with multinational groups was the fact that in the West Bank, in Gaza, this occupation is referred to as the American-Israeli occupation, in spite of the fact that they see us Americans as part of a very integral part of the occupation. They still received us very, very well, and they were, you know, we just found these delightful people to be with. They have a plight in their lives that's just extraordinary for the most part if you start looking at the issues that they have to deal with on a daily basis.
And of course, that perception is based on our aid, which I think amounts to about $10 million a day to Israel. And you've broken that down to tell us what that means for North Carolinians. What's our contribution to that?
Well, now, all of that is aid to Israel. None of that is aid. No significant amount of aid is going to the Palestinians themselves. If you break that down and look at what's scheduled to happen over the next decade, the state of North Carolina, taxpayers in the state, will pay $808 million in military aid to Israel, which our last two joint chiefs of staff have said is really not necessary.
Is it necessary? What would be the other way? What's your goal in breaking the silence? You were once director of that, and now you're part of this project, Our Harsh Logic. What's your goal in all of this, Donna?
First, the goal is to bring the occupation to the table. As I mentioned, people also here in the U.S. and people in different places in the world that are involved in the conflict are talking about what the solution should be. And there are many solutions on the table, but not so many people anymore and not so many countries are actually talking about the occupation and what's going to be happening with the military control. We resist the occupation. We're trying to give the information in order to create a discussion around it and to make people understand that without ending the occupation and without really giving bringing this situation to an end, nothing good can come out of it. Not a functioning Palestinian society that can actually function in this world and to be partner and neighbor in living peacefully with Israel. So first we say let's acknowledge the problem. The problem is first the occupation on the ground, and then let's have the talking about the solution, and there are many solutions that we can choose from.
I want to thank you both for being on the program. Donna Golan is an IDF veteran and former director of Breaking the Silence. She's going to speak tonight, 7 o'clock, Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Raleigh, and then again on Sunday at 2:30 at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill. You can check our website if you didn't get all that. We're at stateofthings.org. And Ralph McCoy, member of the Triangle Coalition for Peace with Justice, thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. Our website, as I said, stateofthings.org. If you want to find out more about any of the dates or appointments we talk about on this show, our program is produced by Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, and Sean Wen. Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.